Okay, verse number 19. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 19. Look at Holy Ghost again. Look at it. Philippians chapter 1, are you there? Look at what the Bible says in verse number 19. You see? So, in the case of Mary, you see, we got it clearly in the case of Mary, the answer of God is the Holy Ghost. In Genesis chapter number 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, what? Moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, the Spirit of God was there. Come on. Spirit of God was there. You couldn't have gone two verses already before you say, in short, the first verse was only saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is the second verse that starts the whole thing, and the Holy Ghost was mentioned. The Spirit of God was there. So God wants to do something in your life. You say, well, I'm praying for money. That's the limitation. I don't want to teach you this. This is not where we're going, but I want to teach you this. That's the limitation of many people. You don't understand. So we're praying the Holy Ghost. We're praying. You think we're just playing. God wants to. You're saying, God, I'm praying for money. With increasing supply of Holy Ghost, the money problem is solved. Do you understand that? So the Holy Ghost is God's answer to a matter. Once there's a supply of the Holy Ghost, once God wants to do something, there's an increase in the supply of the Holy Ghost in that direction, in your life. And then with the presence of the Holy Ghost, with that increase of the Holy Ghost at work, the presence of the Holy Ghost, the thing, whatever it is, taken care of. So you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you can do literally anything. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the power of God. And so we see that in Genesis 1. And then we see it here again. There's a supply. In Philippians 1:19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation, come on, through your prayer and what? Supply of the Spirit. So there's something like a supply. There's a supply of the Spirit. Are you in church today? There's something like a supply of the Spirit. Of Jesus Christ. Supply. There's a demand and there's a supply of the Spirit. So, God can supply you more Spirit. Supply. This shall turn to my deliverance, my salvation, through your prayers. And, so you pray, what happens? There's an increase in supply. So your prayers is laying demand. And so when you pray, there's an increase in supply of the Spirit. So you could say, Pastor, I was not here. I just had issues. Just say, drink of the Holy Ghost. No. If you drink of the Holy Ghost, the problem has finished now. What can withstand the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you? Nothing can even stand inside of you and the power of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes you see him as fire. You say, Pastor, there's a pain in my body. When the power of the Holy Ghost comes, it burns it off. That's how Paul said, be not drunk with wine, wearing his excess. But be being filled with the Holy Ghost. It will take care of everything. And when Peter and the apostles, they met difficult situations. And they were going to speak or they say something. Guess what? Bible says, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter spoke. For speaking, no. Holy Ghost was speaking. I told you my story. I'm saying this to help you. So we are praying the Holy Ghost. We are going in that direction. Don't stay there. It's another realm entirely. In the realm of the Holy Ghost, once you enter that realm, you can touch everything. Touch body, business, house, that. It just touch the Holy Ghost. So when you enter, you just drink as much as you can drink. And you see a lot of things fixed in your life. Somebody says it's lucky. I've always said it's lucky. It's not lucky. A lot of things will be fixed. Because you just fix things. It just fixes. Once you just... He just enters, he's fixing things, taking care of things. You are just there, submitted. And they, hey, la 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 la, kashalaba, hey. He's just fixing things and arranging things. Just go out tomorrow, thank you. You just get it, No, I just actually leave it for you. You just say, okay, Holy Ghost at work. Holy Ghost at work. Hallelujah. Alright. So, always seize opportunity. When, you see, we don't do it, we don't make it happen. It happens. There's a rich presence. We all bring something. You see, as we all come to church, we bring a fire. We bring a fire. We bring something. Yeah, it's all this here. It's not even me. Some of you not here, Pastor. No, it's a corporate anointing. Whenever the corporate anointing goes off, there is a higher degree of what God can do in the midst of those people. You see, once the corporate anointing, the belief, the faith of the people go up, God can work more in their midst. God never really does come to visit a man. He comes to visit the people. He told you that before. He comes to visit the people. So the people, that's why you find in the Old Covenant, you say, let the children of Israel go prepare themselves before they approach. Prepare yourself and come. The whole congregation, that's his desire. It's a people. It visits a people. So you say, but is this man that he meant? This man, the reason for meeting this man is to meet the people. And you see here, his flow is not towards the man, it's the people. So once the people are anticipating, once the people are hungry, once the people are test the people, I could literally just come and say, oh, Laboko Sahaya, and phew, more power. Someone will say, our pastor has increased. Our pastor doesn't necessarily need to increase. The faith of the people has increased. Are you still here? The pastor increases, yes. But there's a place for corporate anointing. Such that the pastor is on his own, and somebody comes and touches the hem of his garment, and the person is healed. The anointing, the corporate anointing is important. And that's why there are different anointing flowing through a man of God at a certain point in time. He can go to a place where there's so much resistance. He could dare do no mighty work. Oh, Jesus. He could dare do no mighty work. In Marxist, everybody knows Marxist. Except lay hands on some few sick folks and heal them. No mighty work. He couldn't do stuff. He wanted to, but he couldn't because the people, there was nothing there. There was so much hindrance that we know him was the hindrance. Bible says a prophet is not without honor except in his own household. You see it now? He goes out, they're saying, say something. You see it now? They are hungry. Say, we invite this man of God to come and preach to us. He's hungry. He comes to his own church. Let's pastor do and finish so we can go. The anointing is different. That is why those of you in the ministers group, you see the testimony in Ugbowo. I'll go to Ugbowo. It will be something else. I'll come back here. You will do not miss me. I didn't you miss me? That's why I said, I miss you. Go. You see? If you get to the place where you not, there's no resistance, where you are hungry, you don't see me. No, you see me every Sunday, Wednesday. Pastor, good afternoon. As I'm coming to Bowo, welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, sir. Yes, sir. Then I just need to just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare healing in this place. We will get healed. You see healing in this place. Because they are anticipating. They are ready. They are hungry. They just see Pastor once. They see Pastor Dan every time. But this Pastor, you know, so that I'm just trying to say, it's not because then it's the same me, but it's different people, it's different hunger, it's different level, different anointing coming together. So you come together and there's an anticipation and there's a hunger, and the Spirit of God is moving in our midst. Learn to flow with it and just flow. Because there are more people in this place right now who are hungry and who desire God than those who don't. So whatever level you are in, I'm not even saying somebody here is a devil. No, I'm not saying whatever level you are in, quickly key. Into the when the corporate anointing is high, enter, collect quickly. There's a chance. You know what I'm saying? When the corporate anointing is high, you are praying, you are going just quickly. You say, I don't use the prayer, don't want to release yourself. Let the thing carry you to. You just take it to that level. And when it takes you there, God, I'm preaching. you don't come down. So use it. If you stay there, you resist it to flow past you. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Yeah, my humble. Why on earth does thou art called? Do not. Stay there now. Stay there, be looking. Enter! So you see this way. So open up your heart and desires. Don't say, Pastor. Once you desire us, you can get more miracles and more of the power of God at work even in this location also. Amen? Hallelujah. So that hunger is important. The flow of the Holy Spirit, the corporate anointing that we carry is important. And when it's there, you key into it, you draw as much as you can draw. The Holy Spirit is here, and you sense that thing, that presence of the Holy Ghost. Some of you just be quiet and wonder, just be there. key in, release, pray, quickly get, open up your heart, pour out your heart to God. And maybe we are praying in particular prayer points, or we're not praying just now, like we're not praying just now, but the Holy Ghost will just move in freely. And so you just release and say, Holy Ghost, He will just enter in, do things in your life. You say, I don't say anything, don't worry. It enters this, enters into your life. Your life is not your body. Your life is your whole, everything around you. Amen? Everything you do, and it comes from your heart. It enters into your heart, works there. How do I put this thing? This word we use for when something is small. That's what I'm trying to look for, but no problem. There's a word we use, don't worry. Right, hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about the attitude of the soul winner, and I feel this will help us in our drive to reach out to souls and to make our lives count for the glory of God. Make our lives count for the glory of God. This will help us because we have a certain desire and a passion to use our lives. I just want to quickly do today's work. I think I've done enough of that already. So, and I'm sure you received instruction. You received instruction, and that will help you subsequently next time. Even you're in this meeting or some other meeting, subsequent meetings, or you're somewhere and you open up your heart, you receive in that atmosphere. There's so much that God can do. And that's why many a times people complain about the man, but it's not necessarily the man, it's the people coming with the fire. And that's why when you are coming to church, this is something we're going to do. Is a lot of things we want to do, we even want to really implement, but we've not been able to cut off our side. When you come to church, you must pray. See, now, this, I have to come back here. I'm sorry, but let me come back here. When you come to church, you must pray. You're not supposed to come to church, just come and sit down. There should be prayer in you. There should be something in you. You are also bringing a fire. You can come with cold water and quench all of us. You just come and just quench. You know, you know people, you're in church, you are praying, you're doing, and they're around you, they're just there. But what happens to you? It feels as if they begin to quench you. Quench you. Imagine you are in a place. Just imagine you are in a place. I always get this complaint from my young pastors when they're starting a location or something like that. Say, Pastor, you know, they are praying. Kalabokosa. Let's pray this Tuesday. They are praying. All the people that they invited to church are just saying, No, the pastor, my people don't know how to pray. I say, your people don't know how to pray. You will teach them how to pray now. They don't start from there. But they always feel quenched. Imagine you are praying and you are the only one. The other two people are just praying. What happens? It begins to quench your own fire. Hallelujah. So when you are coming, you don't want to come and quench us. Come on. You don't want to come and quench us. You want to come with your own fire. So that's when you are coming to church, we're going to have a prayer. At least you can say, you can pray when you are, before you enter and participate in church. You see, when I went to Lagos, my pastor's church, I saw a prayer out there, a prayer of consecration. You pray that prayer of consecration before you enter into church. Pray. So if you have not prayed, you don't have anything to pray. You pray. Even if you have prayed, just come, pray prayer, just quickly say that and then go in. You will have the attitude, not just coming to church, but also coming with something. Prepare to add your fire to our fire. That's what happens when we come together. It's important. So when you're coming, you are praying, you should have an expectation. Sunday service, you're coming to church. Don't just say, I'm coming to church this Sunday, let me just bath and come. Have an expectation of what God wants to do in your life, what God will do in your life. If you have a desire, it could even be healing for your body. You don't need to tell anybody. Don't bother telling anybody. Just come with it. You'll be surprised. God will call your case. Or not even call the case as the case is. Just solve the problem. When you're done, you just have all, there's a burden and the burden is just lifted like that. You just go. Don't use that, but just have an expectation that God, I'm coming to meet with you. Do something in my life. If you have particular issues you want to handle, don't let Sunday service or gathering, not just Sunday service, anytime we gather, don't let it just be I come so that they will talk. Because truthfully, even that I'm speaking right now, and sometimes there was a meeting we came to on Wednesday, I couldn't even preach. I don't need to talk. The Holy Ghost is here. You see, so He knows your heart. He sees your heart. So you could just come with it, but come with it lifted and saying, God, this is my service. This is the time. No, this issue, I've been trying to deal with it. He will help you navigate. You could be sitting in service, I'm preaching this thing now, and the Holy Ghost will take one word, one thing I've said, and use it to show you a whole new life in another direction of the thing you have been thinking of, solution you have been trying to find in service right now. I'm telling you. So don't limit the Holy Ghost like that. Open up your heart and come with an expectation.
healing for your body, whatever it is, you don't need to make a noise about it, but just come with an expectation of meeting with God. You're not meeting with me. You're coming to meet with God. And God is great and mighty and can meet all of us, can supply all our needs and do infinite things in our lives just right here, right now, together. It doesn't need to be walking. God is not like somebody walking here and says everybody has to wait. He can walk on all of us at the same time. Unless you come and you don't have anything with him, he will just pass and say, wait for Pastor here. Pastor here will come and tell you something just now. But he will be moving and you will miss him. So don't key in by coming to church with an expectation, coming to church prayed, prayerfully, anticipating something. Imagine you come to church every service, every gathering of the believers like that. Every time believers gather, you are coming with something, a touch. Lord, touch me. Increase my prayer life. Lord, increase my life. I don't want to be like this. And you come. Every service, something will happen. If you just come, let the time pass. Nothing will happen. You'll be wondering, what's wrong with all this one? Why are they coming to church? Where are some people who will be desirous to come to church? Where are some people who will just be there and wondering what's happening in their lives? Ah, thank you, Holy Ghost. The attitude of a soul winner is what I want to talk to you about. We want our lives to count. We want to do something. We don't want to just be coming to church and going. We don't want to be burdenless Christians. We don't want to be Christians without burden. What does it mean to be a Christian and not carry a burden? What does it mean to be a Christian and not carry the cross of Jesus Christ and bear a part of his burden and bear a part of his suffering? The reason why he came for souls, you don't carry that, but you are a Christian. What does it mean? That is hard for me. I can't even tell you what it means because I don't even know what that means. That is not Christianity at all. I don't know if you know what it means. Why can you be a Christian without a body? There's no way you can be a Christian without a body. A bodiless Christian, I don't want to be it. I don't want to be among the people who see souls perishing, who hear of people past or whatever, and then just go as if every day is normal and go about business as usual. For us, it's not business as usual. There should be a certain consciousness for souls, a certain hunger, a certain attitude. We talked about Nehemiah. We said he had an attitude. He heard something, the same thing that many people heard. And then he moved in that direction and did something about it. Hallelujah. So we don't want to be a bondless. We want our lives to come. We don't want to just come to church again like we've talking about. Come and go and come and go. And then, like I always say, you before long, you wonder what is church about. Whether some people know what it's about because they are participating, they are pushing, they want their lives to come. Whether some people are wondering what it's about, but somebody just wants to see us. I don't want to see anybody. Hallelujah. We want our lives to count. And so, we've been talking about this, so winning, talk to somebody, reach out to somebody, you need to carry a fire, you need to carry the burden of for souls, you need to carry the burden for souls, and reach out to your generation and people around you. We splitted the church into zones. Now you have a zone, you are working with a zonal leader, and you're reaching out through your zone, and talking to people, and you are inviting people. We are seeing so much tremendous results as we walk, inviting people, and talking to our friends and neighbors. Bible says, we are light to the Gentiles. We are for salvation to the ends of the earth. The only way your life counts, the only part, the only thing you can do with your life that really does count is reaching out to a soul for Christ. That's the only real thing you can do. Not nothing. Cars and houses and the money, they all pass. Do we need them? When we get them, guess what? They are for souls. No, we need money. But 100% we need money for souls, to reach out to souls, to be able to touch people, to be able to bring people to know our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So everything is for souls. That's the only way your life will count. That's the only real thing. We said the only real gift you can give to a friend is salvation. Reaching out to that boy, you just see somebody living like this. You should be thinking about this person in terms of eternity. Where is this boy going to? How is this boy living his life? Where will this boy spend eternity? With this way, this lifestyle, no Jesus, no hope. You see, the only real thing I can do with my life, the only real impact I can make is to lift, bring a soul to say to Jesus. To bring a soul to Jesus. I want my life to count like that. They get all the money with no impact. Nothing done, I'll bring joy to the hearts of somebody for eternity. Joy to the heart of somebody for eternity. Come on. What life is that? So I want my life to count. And we've been on that course for the past few weeks. And today, I want to talk to you about that attitude. The kind of attitude we need to have. How do we go about it?
reaching out to souls. What kind of attitude do we have? There's also an attitude for sowing. For the attitude, for your life to count, you want your life to impact the world, there's an attitude you also need to carry. And so I want to talk to you about that today. Will you take your Bible first of all to Luke chapter number 2? Luke chapter number 2. Verse number 49. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking to his parents now. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must, come on. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Why are you looking for me? So you see that attitude in Christ already born. An attitude to go out for souls or to go out to be engaged in the Father's business. See, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Hallelujah. That attitude we must carry. That attitude of urgency. That attitude of importance. This thing I'm doing is important. This thing I'm doing is relevant. There must be an attitude about it. We cannot be slack with God's work. We cannot go about trying to make our lives count and to touch lives, and then we are doing it as though it is as if I have a choice. There's nothing about it. Well, I like it. I have chance. I don't have chance. I do. No, that's not the attitude of a soul winner. You can't get anything done like that. You see, because you say you want it, but if you don't have the right attitude, you will not get anything done. I didn't say you will not say you don't want to, because you can say, I want my life to count. I want to touch souls. I want to at least. Don't worry. You see how beautiful it is? You see how beautiful it is when your life, when you know, you can see that your life, through your life, through you, the Lord has walked and touched a life. That somebody is focused and running and excited and makes sense about his life, and it's not just anyhow, because the person met you. Come on. You're no longer feeling empty and worthless. You're no longer feeling 8 to 5. Come on. You know, we've asked this thing several times. You know what it means? 8 to 5. You know why people get tired and frustrated? They tell you they're 39, midlife crisis, whatever. You understand? Because there's nothing. Just imagine. I just tell students just now. Just imagine you are done with school. You graduate. You work forever. You just be working every day. 8 to 5, 8 to 5, 8 to 5, 8 to 5, go to work. That's then you just come back. End of month, I pay me. I go then. Guess what happened? You find out that the money is not kept. No. You spend everything. Then guess what again? You start again. Later, you now stop. And then you've done it for 3 years, 5 years. What? You just ask yourself, what's the meaning of life, self? You make money, you spend it, you find it, you every that is forever finished. No school, nobody's writing an exam for you. No, then nothing, no, your own life now is to ensure you gather money, you have money to spend. And as you are doing that to ensure that you are healthy too, they'll start, you watch TV, they'll not say you have to do this exercise, that exercise, that exercise. Wait, why should I even be alive, self? That's what I say. I beg. Somebody will say, die. I beg. Somebody, I must eat. Eat it. You die. Because me, I don't want to die. Yeah, and I mean that. I take care of my body because this body is important. This body has a lot of things to do. I'm telling you. You don't know. So when it does a lot for you, most people don't understand. Why we're not frustrated, down, depressed, say, oh, what will you do with our life? I'm just tired. I'm constantly under pressure, so I don't get tired. How will I get tired? There's a constant pressure to make my life count in the direction of soul winning. So how do I get it? 8 to 5, 8 to 5, do it. How long will you do it before you start asking yourself questions? Is this all to life? This is all to life. Because you find that there's nothing more to do. What will you do? If you're working for the government, it's 35 years of service.
and you managed to fortify your age to get the job. You were already 35 when you got the job, but you lied to government and you were 25. You do 35 yourself, you'll be 70. If they don't catch you with BVN now, they'll catch you some other way. Retire you by force. Are you still here? You not start going. Every day. You not say, what is the meaning of life? But you stop and you come around to church and you go out and you win a soul, or you participate and you're in a choir, or you help minister something and you do something and your life counts, and you are seeing lives transformed because you are breathing in and breathing out. Everything seems to make sense. I need to do this. I must continue doing this. I get the strength to do all I do because of this impact of my life. Not in terms of gathering money, but in terms of lives that have been transformed. You too will find meaning and purpose in soul winning. Something for the higher cause. The highest cause is soul winning. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I can reach one soul, and that soul is impacted through my life. This life counts. And so, I will not sit somewhere and say, "Ring it, I eat anything, I beg, but he must die." I want to still be useful at 60. As useful as possible. I want to still be moving. I just read, Kumuyi was 80 this year. The man is still preaching crusades, 1 hour stretch, 1 hour, 15 minutes stretch. Then he'll finish crusade. Imagine he'll do crusade 80 years. He'll do crusade Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What kind of 80 years old man is that? I want to take care of my body and be alive as long as possible. So, I don't eat anyhow. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God wants to do work, and He must walk through your body. So, my body has purpose. I'm not going to cross the road and cover my eyes and say anything that has to happen. As long as you drive, you say, "Let's not drive, let's touch down." He said, "Touch down to where?" He said, "You cannot touch down." "I cannot touch down. You will get there before me by 30 minutes, Abi. Get there." I don't care. Nothing is moving. Because I must get to where I'm going to, and I must come back. My life has a purpose. It's not, I can't be doing that because I want to go to work on Monday. Who would try to preserve his life so I can go to work on Monday? That's not why. I'm doing that because I have so much to do. I have people to talk to. I have. We've not even started doing ministry as we should. We've not started as we should. Our website, we've not even inputted everything we need to input. We've not done everything. We're just there. And only for Pastor Samim, next before we settle down, we'll finish the website properly. Then I'll also say, "Touch down." I'm not touching now. I need to go and come back so I can finish that website. Bless more souls. More people. You see, everything has a meaning. Not so that I'm not going to touch down so I can go to work and come back. So I can go and come back so I can go to work on Monday morning. Who is so excited? Who is that excited? I want to go so I can go to work. That's cool. But the highest level and the highest reason is purpose, living for Christ. Yeah, so I want to talk about that attitude. That's what we must carry. Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? So there must be an attitude of urgency. There's an attitude of seriousness. It's not a joke. We're not playing. We have an assignment. Like you give a man an assignment and he's just doing like that. It's not, he has a poor attitude. He's just going, coming. "Have you done the assignment?" "I'll do it later." No. This assignment that we have of God is a lifetime. It can consume 5 lifetimes. Come on. And you still have so much to do. So how would you be doing that? How would you now go about this assignment? There has to be a certain level of urgency, a certain level of haste, a certain level of haste that pushes everything aside. Look at Jesus. At that age, 12, he said, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" This is a business. How do I think I'm going to take it? I must be. Don't you know at age 12? Look at him later. John chapter number 4. Look at Jesus later. I want to show you this same person later. John chapter number 4. Jesus said, are you in John 4? Would you hold your place in John chapter 4? Put your Bible markers there. And go to Mark chapter number 3.
Mark chapter number 3. Hold your place in John chapter number 4 and go to Mark chapter number 3.
So it was Jesus that said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you in Mark chapter number 3? Put a Bible marker there, put something there, put a Bible, put something there. Go to Luke 19. I think it's in Luke 19.
Verse number 1.
And Jesus entered. Alright, so we are beginning now. Are we together? And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down. Imagine Jesus said to Zacchaeus, I'm going somewhere, just stay with me. The guy is up a tree. Jesus comes to the place. Jesus says, I come down. Jesus says what? Make haste and come down. Come on. You see, that's how we read the Bible. And most of you see how we can lose revelation. We can lose light. This is Jesus' attitude. He sees a man up a tree. He does that kind of come down. But the Bible is not crazy. You must understand the word of God and the things of God is not rough. He didn't just write it because he had to write, make haste. He could have said, Zacchaeus, come down. And that's what you sing in your children's lullaby. Children's song. They say, Zacchaeus, come down. No, it's not Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. This thing we're about to do, this thing we need to talk about. Oh, come on, I'm preaching. I told you I started preaching. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. This thing is important. So it's not going to be, it's just an urgent thing. But you could just say, Zacchaeus, come down. Jesus says, no, make haste, come down. For today, salvation has come to your house. Zacchaeus, come down. Let's go down. Let's go down. No, there's an urgency about it. There's a haste about it. We must do it now. We must get saved now. Can we go? Let us go to this corner. Come on. Let us go to this corner. Can we talk about this Jesus? Just quick. Just say, when you have time. No. Create the time now. Can we sit now? Say, tomorrow. The person is pushing tomorrow. You are saying tomorrow. No, what about later in the evening? Come on. Okay, I'm doing something. Okay, what about if I stand by you? What about if I stand by you and talk? And I'm going to my friend's house. I'll follow you. I'm following you. You see the attitude that we carry. So I'm following you. So I'm not going to say, okay, book an appointment for tomorrow. Book an appointment for tomorrow. This is not the doctor's appointment. This is a soul appointment. We can't leave this soul overnight. Oh, thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. How do we leave this soul? We make haste. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Zacchaeus made haste and come. He said, for today, salvation has come to your house. Then Jesus goes further. He says, come on, look at it. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, I must walk the walk of my father. I must be about my father's business. I must abide at their house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, come on. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek and to save that which was lost. This is his purpose. This is his assignment. He says, they're going to be hasty about it. I'm going to do as much as I can do. This is the perfect place to say there's no time to say no time. This is the perfect place. There's no time. Make it. Salvation has come to your house today. I must eat at your house. There's no story. We're not going to delay this thing. It's your house I'm going to. Go, quickly, come down. Haste. You see that now? All right. Go to Mark chapter number 2-3. I want to show you the life of Jesus Christ and how we must act, the attitude you must carry. Because people don't understand us. When we say this is what we must do, we're doing that. Say, why not, then, Pastor? Just take it easy. Take it easy. Let's do it small. No, we can't. Verse number 20. And the multitude cometh together again. Come on. And the multitude cometh together what? So that they could not so much as eat bread. You see that? So the multitude, I want you to see that word again. So the multitude had come together before. So he had some time, if you read the verse, selected his apostles. The Bible says, and the multitude came together again. So they could not even have time to eat. So, all right, good. Okay. See, then he turns, and the multitude came together again. So that they could not even have time, as much as time to eat bread. And when his friends, come on, heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him. For they said, he is beside himself. You see, friends that don't understand assignments. Some of you have those kind of friends. Some of you even have those kind of parents. They don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. They don't understand why you are like that. Say, come and eat. Say, it's not their stomach. It's not their assignment. It's Jesus. They say, come and eat. People don't be there. At least eat small. Look at the attitude. Come on. Are you still here? Let me see the attitude. So someone say, that's why you say, I'm coming back from work, I'm tired, so I could not now. You see the attitude. Tired. What do you mean by tired? Funnily and truthfully, it is the same attitude. That's what some people don't understand. They don't understand. You say, this pastor, most of you don't understand. This attitude of soul winning I'm talking to you about, when we have mastered it inside soul winning, when we go to our everyday life, we do the same thing. So, you see what I'm telling you now? Did you hear what I just said? Master it here. It will work for you there. This attitude we have. If you see me doing something, what's the meaning? This thing must be done today. We are painting. We are finishing this painting today. I have held torch for paint to finish. Continue. If torch is not light, go on generator. But it's today. What kind of blood you people have? We have the blood of accomplishing things. And that's the way we deal with souls. It is from souls we get to accomplish things. And so you see things done, you sleep, wake up. That's so great. The Lord is good. You are not serious. There's an attitude about it. All those delay, procrastination, I'll do it tomorrow. You get it, we don't know how to stop. You see, the Bible says you could not even eat. So the more you gather again, guess what? They could not even eat bread last time. They started again. So he just finished preaching. They just say, alright, you walk with me, do that. People are gathering again. I say, we've gone out to minister sometime, we're a new one. I'll carry food. I say, after the first session, to the second session, I don't get there. Alright. I say, will you pinch small? I can't eat. There's no way. There's food. This time there's food. Because once you've gotten there and there's so much work, there are people who gather together for a meeting to eat this morning. They can go and eat. But I cannot just come and I can't. See, just try. Don't worry, I can't eat. After the meeting will finish. When I'm done, I can eat. But right now, I can't eat. Some people have been with me. You've seen it. You've heard the same matter. Just eat small. Then I can maybe drink something and just keep going. When I'm done. That's an attitude. The attitude of the walk. The same thing with soul winning. People wonder why they don't see results. So you say, I don't see results. Because you do small and your attitude is tomorrow. Tomorrow. We will reach as much as we can reach today. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. Do you see the attitude there? Zacchaeus, make haste. These people could ministry and could not eat. Take a Bible to John chapter number 4. So Jesus, the one that came to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the attitude. Verse number 5. We are reading a long passage. We're not going to read everything. We're just going to jump some things here. Verse number 5. Verse number 3. He left Judah and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then coming he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, come on, sat thus on the well, and it was about what? The sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So, Jesus was weary. Did you see Jesus was weary there? This was a weary Jesus. He sat down. Bible said, being weary. I mean, you don't have many passages that Bible says Jesus was weary.
Don't tire. He said, I'm not going here. Okay. You, go and buy food and drink. I don't move me. You want to kill me? So he says, you go and buy food and drink. Are you still here? This is the story. He was weary. He sat down there. He said, I'm not moving. Disciples went to go and bring. He said, I met the woman, right? They started conversing. And Jesus was not even trying to say, give me water to drink, because he was after something else. Thus said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is it that said to thee, give me to drink? Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? And thou art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So Jesus began to reach out for her soul. This is somebody that was what? Weary. He said he's not moving. But he saw a soul. Come on. He saw a soul. He shifted. I'm going to show you attitude. He said to preach. He said to talk to her. He said to minister. Look at verse number 29. Verse number 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto them, ministry has happened. She came to fetch water. Now I'm jumping to where she has left her water pot. Jesus has done something. Come, I went to the city to say to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said disciples, they are always Jews, they are Jew guys, one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? In their mind, somebody don't bring food come for this guy. He don't eat. Just now. He said they're hungry. We go buy food. Just now. He say, you know, they eat again. He don't eat something where they don't know. What did he eat when we don't know? Jesus said, okay, this is juice. Let me quickly clear that I have not really eaten. Jesus said unto them, my meat, you see it now, is to do the will of him that sent me and to what? And to finish it. Finish his work. And the Bible later told us that people came. The city came, and when they heard Jesus, many of them believed. And they told the woman later on, it's not because of you, we've heard him by ourselves. But Jesus touched that woman and touched the whole city. He even stayed with them extra days. He didn't plan to stay there. But the urgency made the door open. Say, there's no door open. Brothers and sisters, there's a door open for souls to be saved. There's a door open for you to touch in life. If you have the same urgency,
If you will stop the guy and say, I want to talk to you. If you will say, can I see you this tomorrow, this evening? You come back now, you say, I want to see you this evening. You see, you can talk to that neighbor of yours. That neighbor of yours can talk to his friend. That friend can talk to his whole family. One day, they are all seated in church. One day, that boy gives his life to Christ. Because of that, your evening, you say, time has gone. Time has gone. Then tomorrow, you now say, the rain is falling. All right, let's go. Time has gone. The rain is falling. I was cooking. Immediately, I finished cooking. By the time I finished cooking, he has gone to work. Oh. I don't know if I have people here. I know it's something I want to show you. So you can now be productive. You know, say, why my diseases are not working? It's working. Just like you don't have the urgency. You don't have the attitude. Your attitude is making everything pass you. She left her water pot. Somebody came to fetch water. Jesus engaged her. Talk about water. She left her water pot and came back with many people. Jesus engaged all those people. God, a lot of people say, stay there sometime before he passed. All because he didn't say, I'm tired. This one can pass. At least, if she fetch her water, go away. I did my own. The soon bring food come. I must eat. When they now brought the food, he said, listen, I have to finish this thing. You can't imagine. That's why most of us don't understand prisons. A lot of things we do, the island and us, we are taught us how to go. If you don't say, let me eat, I can just really eat before they come. No. You don't understand. Don't even say it's not for me. It's not for me. He can't. That place, all his spirit, all his soul, all his body, all his focus is the souls that are coming. In that time, you don't even know. When I tell you, I think someone, it's that time, he's listening up to God, praying the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you're doing everything. There's a meeting waiting for me. I'm praying the Holy Ghost. Praying for everything. So that's it. Because you don't know I'm praying, you just know yourself as you is. Because I'm talking to you, you think you don't know. I'm praying. So you don't know. I don't say, I can't. You don't know how much he was communicating and praying. He was waiting for the people to come. They were coming, and he was after eating. You think it's a game. So that's why he said, but me, I cannot preach. Nobody is getting. You see, attitude, urgency. Focus on it. You do it as if it's nothing. It's nothing. So how can you reach a soul when it's nothing? Bible says this, the value of a soul is greater than the whole world. What will a man give in exchange of his soul? So you want to reach a soul and you are doing as if it is what? Nothing. That soul matter is a heavy matter. It can take everything from me. That's why Jesus didn't eat. They couldn't eat. What you gathered again? Let's go. Somebody comes, say, Pastor. Somebody comes, Pastor. I mean, there are many times I've entered counseling. I'll tell you personally, it's not comfortable, but I must do it. The person I'm counseling, I'm counseling somebody. Me, I'm exhausted. I'm counseling, I'm pushing someone, talking to somebody. The person is seemingly more tired than myself. And I'm like, you don't understand. The energy me I'm using is the energy of urgency for your soul. If you enter hell now, it's too much for you. And at that time, I have all the energy of heaven is what I use. Because there's an urgency. If you see me talking to somebody, you say, Pastor, you know the grass. And at that time, I tell you, I forget everything. Forget family. I say, sort yourself out. Go where you want to go. But this matter must finish today. We must do this thing. You must get this revelation into your spirit. That's the attitude you must carry as a soul winner. So if you must reach out to somebody, if you must help somebody, you cannot go home and say, tomorrow. It's not too late. You can sit down. I'm not bath. What is the meaning of bath? Guy, reach out to soul. Jesus was weary. You people see each other in the morning when you have not bathed. And so when I just go, guy, actually, I want to talk to you. See, I'll talk to you about more the message and what you can give. You can share your personal testimony. I've told you that before. You can share Jesus Christ and Him crucified for His life as the solution to all His problems. And all the problems you have is Jesus Christ the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer to all the problems that ails you. And you can share Jesus Christ. You can give Him many things at that instance. You can be walking down somewhere. By the time we are going to class or we are coming back from class, you are already tired coming back from class, but you see a soul just walking. You see this guy. You look at him, there's something. This soul is ripe. Good afternoon, Chibana. Going to the good. Let's go together. How was class today? You think me and my own class was? You say it's because your own. You know, you didn't have so much stress today in class. It's not because we didn't have stress in class. The soul is more important than anything. So that moment your face changes. Come on, I don't know if I'm preaching to somebody. I'm telling you how to do it. You're coming for class tired. I mean, this is how we got to where we are. Remember, class tired. But you mean, how was you asking? I was like, you won't ask you as your own class. He doesn't care, but you care. Where you are going to is higher. You are going for his soul. Yeah, class today. Stressful, Abby. Say today, very stressful. But, you know, God can help you. God can help me. Hey, God is helping all of us. But at least, you know what I'm talking about. In relationship with God, make this thing make sense. Bros, I believe what I said. We are going together. Let's do it. Before we get to hostel, he's already saying, you don't bear many things in my life. Many things are dragging me. All right, can we just stop here?
Don't stop. Say, you can give a, before you know it, say, Lord Jesus Christ, my life, thank you. Take his number. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. Your willingness, when you are preaching or that preaching, you don't even remember willingness at all. All the focus is so. If you don't have that urgency, you say, yeah, today I'm tired. We have too much class today. Tomorrow, I'm hurrying. I have to go and wash clothes. The next day, I have to go there say assignment. You never ever make an impact on souls if you don't understand that soul winning business is what? Urgent business. Are you still here? Another thing to show you. This one is in 1 Samuel chapter number 21. Somebody says, see me, I'm not free now. I'm not free now. I'll be available tomorrow morning. Guess what? You say by when? You say by around 7 o'clock. Guess what? 6:55. You are there, boy. Let me tell you, by that action, please, I'm preaching now. By that action, you let him know that what you want to discuss is important. 6:55, you are there. Ah, 7 o'clock. You are there. I said, as you say 7 o'clock, and I said, I just come and block you now before you go, before you leave. Say, I know from now. So let me just finish what I'm doing. Say, I can just be with you now. You can even begin to help. Come on, have you? Can you even help somebody before? Let me just. Are you not breaking this melon? Now let's break the melon now. So, like we were saying, like I wanted to talk to you about. Are you still here? Attitude of urgency. You will see souls turning to Christ through your life. Your life will begin to make impact. You're wondering, why is my life not making impact? You don't have an attitude about it. The right attitude for a soul winner. Make haste. Come on. Zacchaeus, make haste. 1 Samuel 21. Verse number 7. Now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. And his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the headsmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. That's my last scriptural summation for today. David now, talking to Ahimelech. He said the king's business requires haste. So, you can imagine a man of war. Imagine a man of war going out without sword. It's like a farmer going out without hoe, cutlass or anything. So imagine David. He said, I don't have sword, I don't have spear, I don't have anything. Then he gives a reason. A profound reason. He said, because the king's business required haste. In essence, the king sent me. Come on. The king sent me to go and do something. So I was so in a hurry, I think there was no time for me to even carry sword that you strap. Just strap your sword and go. David said, I was so in a hurry that I could not even strap my sword. Because the king's business requires haste. Do we serve the King of Kings? Lord of Lords? Come on, I hear people in church. Or what about his own business? How will his business be like? How should we take his business? Come on, are you still here? That is what I want us to go with. Haste. We must do it. He said he was so hasty he couldn't carry sword. So, but you are so hasty to bring somebody to church, your makeup is complete. You are ready to slay. Oh, you mean I'm coming to church to slay? I mean, it's funny. It's funny. No, we could laugh about it. But really, if I must slay, then I must wake up 5 o'clock. Finish everything. Finish slaying. Then, go out, bring the 3 souls and come in. When you have finished bringing 3 souls and sweating, we don't know how the slay will be, but somehow souls will be saved. Come on. Someone say, Pastor has given us license to look like winch in this church. Hey, guy, I'll pursue you by myself. I didn't say that. You see, I didn't say don't sleep. I said you have to now wake up early. But to say that we want to reach out to souls and to make see souls saved, and now
the excuse for not going out to bring people is not because I'm trying to make up. So when I finished, it was already a few minutes to nine. So I just called him. He didn't take his call. So and I said, before I go to his house, I now come to church. So time was gone. So I just went to church. Next week, this week was his week. This was his week for salvation. And you missed it because you were trying to sleep. You don't understand the business. Next week, something else will happen again. Are you still here? The king's business requires haste. The king sent David. It was not even the king that sent him, though, but if you read the whole context, but the statement is what I want us to take. And the Ahimelech didn't say, king's business or no king's business, next time you must take your sword. Oh. King sent you something. You have to hurriedly go, okay, I understand. That is King Saul. How much more God sends us a message? And then we stop to boil beans before we come for outreach. We stop to say, because outreach is 5 o'clock, I just got home around 4:35. So I now consider that I need to just cook something. Because this, so, as I just said, let me quickly cook it. But it's not, see, once you just check time, it's near that time. There's no point. And I just sit down, cross my leg, wait 5 minutes, drink water, and rest my soul. Then get on the move. When I come back, I will eat. I didn't know I would not come back on time. Whatever the idea is, the urgency in your heart will make you go. And let me tell you, that urgency, as you are speaking, the person will say it. This business is talking about is real. This person means this salvation thing. In short, let me just born again. Look at her eyes. This one looks like somebody that, if I don't born again today, if I don't give my life to Christ, if I don't follow her today, I will not rest. Let me just, it's a church, let me go and bath. Okay, bath, I'm waiting for you. They say, go. I'm coming just now. We say, no, don't worry. I'm waiting for you. Say, no, I'm telling you. Say, no, I'll just wait. This matter is important. This one say, this thing this person wants me to do is important to her. It's important. Because he doesn't know the importance. Come on. Are you still in church? He doesn't know the importance. It's like when I take food to give to my son, he starts running. Food. He doesn't know the importance. It's food. You want to die. As in, if you don't eat, like, you don't die. His stomach is nothing. As in, no food. This is hunger started. But he will not eat. You have to, they come in, then, sit down, if you move, I can't. Then you not give him. When I start giving, you not sit down there. You not give him. But to give him the first one is war. He doesn't know the importance. Or you see a child they are dragging to school. They're dragging this child to school. Dragging child to school. Then later the child by himself, right jam. By himself, I want to enter university. All my mates are in school. I've not started that school. I don't jam. It's mommy, you have to pay that guy the 50,000. Oh, let him help me. Oh, and I cannot stay at home again. But the same child you are dragging the child to school just now. We are debating we'll go and drop this boy in school the first day because we know that once we drop him there, voila will start. He doesn't know the importance. I'm going somewhere. He says, so if I say I want to preach to you, and I say you don't have time, it's your business, it's not you. He doesn't know the importance. You that know the importance, you must pressure. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Don't say, I tried to talk to you, and I said tomorrow, where? I tried. He's like, he doesn't know. But when you now make him know that this thing is urgent, I will wait for you. He now says, this thing you want to see, let me hear very well. If you will wait 1 hour to talk to me, this thing must be important. So we are the one that give the gospel message urgency. We now give it urgency. So the person begins from there to understand that this thing makes sense. Begins from there. So your urgency will help a soul get saved. Your attitude will help a soul turn to the Lord. Your attitude will help a soul, even if not get saved, begin to become serious with God. And let me go to that church. The church that puts fire. Somebody, Pastor Faith was telling me how they were ministering. Somebody was preaching. I don't know which of them was preaching. And they were preaching. They didn't know they were talking to a pastor. And when they were done, the pastor was saying, I didn't know if they were sharing with you. I don't know if it's you. So if you do, just let me know. The pastor now said, this thing you said, what you shared was, very powerful and very nice. Your pastor is worth sitting under. I mean, if he's hearing these things, it means you're very, very good. And that was awesome. You see, you get to somebody, you carry a level of urgency. You preach this message. When you bring this message to somebody and he says, This thing is powerful. That's a pastor. So imagine you can give that to somebody too that is not saved. He will receive it and receive it. Hallelujah. The attitude is important. So if you go with this attitude, and that's why I urge you to take what I'm sharing with you now. Go with this attitude to soul winning. Then let it enter into your life and let it become your kind of attitude. Your kind of attitude for everything. I don't stop when I'm tired. I stop when it's done. So I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep talking to someone. I'm going to keep reaching out to that guy. So your attitude will make the gospel message have power. Let's not stop and say, ah, this girl is serious. So. This is what I feel. You need to talk. You need to share with confidence. At that time, you're not thinking of hunger. I want to go home. Time has gone. What's the meaning of time has gone? I mean, this guy must get this thing today. Make haste today. Salvation must reach your house. Today. And he's looking at you. And in your eye, there's fire. There's fire in your eye. There's urgency. And the gospel message has power. And you see, surprisingly, for the first time, you have seen somebody says, I'm going to come to your church. I'm going to come to your church. I want to come and hear these words you are hearing. Something, there's something about you. You're not talking to me like, good morning. We came to preach to you. Do you have chance? Do you have chance? What kind of nonsense question is that? Me, I will ask you if you have chance. Like, good morning. How are you? It's good to see you. You know, I just want to spend some time with you. You know, if you consider what I've entered, you have chance. Do I give you chance to have chance? You don't have your, so who will you ask? I came to preach to you and say, I have chance. Nobody will have chance. If you ask them if they have chance, they will never have chance. So you don't ask them if they have chance. You go in straight for the kill. Get the stuff. Collect the chance and use it. Say, good. How does that? You say, that's how they used to come when they preach to me. That's why you never listen to them. I mean, not you don't listen to them. Go, hello, good afternoon. Do you have a moment for me to talk to you? A moment. I'm busy. I'm watching. Do you have a moment? What kind of moment? We don't ask if you have a moment. We take the moment. There's a moment. Is this not a moment? Time I'm using to ask you if you have a moment. But let me just tell you what I want to tell you. So let's know that this one is different. I'm saved already. But the kind of the fire I have, the fervency I have, I don't see the fervency in your heart that I don't have. I want that fervency. I'm coming to her. He comes around. He gets glued. Boy, I'm so blessed today. I'm coming around next week. Before you know anything, joins the choir. Before you know anything, he's coming again. Before you know anything, well, don't even pastor of a church in Uselu Market. I don't know what's legal. I can get to my and then guess where you are? Guess where you are? You are excited. And you're like, look at that young man. This is my life. This is the product of my life. I've done something. Look at that young man. And through his own life, everything following him, all the lives impacted through him. Come on. 50 kobo is entering your account for eternity. 50 kobo for the rest of eternity. Man, it's billions. 50 kobo times eternity. No, I don't need 50 kobo. 5 kobo times eternity. I'm a billionaire. Rest your case. Come on. That's the real purpose for life. You can get somebody on the track. Come on. Get somebody on the right track. You can get somebody saved with this attitude. But if you go with, don't have chance. I don't have chance. And I'll try to reach you. You will know that what you want to say. Maybe you want to talk nonsense. You don't even know. You don't believe what you want to say. Somebody said something. And in this way, we'll just round this service up. He said something as an atheist. Dying. Last breath. They are saying, just give your life to Christ. This chance. Instead of you to say, there's no God, there's no God. Just, you are going now, you die. He said, I don't believe there's a God. The reason, his reason is not, it's not miracles and power. His reason is, if I were a Christian, and there's really a God, there's even a heaven and a hell. Eh? He said, and there are bottles on all the world, broken bottles everywhere, and there's somebody on the other side, I will crawl on all four, crawl, to go and give the person the gospel. He didn't see anybody with that kind of urgency. It means that they are only talking, it is not real. I don't know if you understand. He surmised. And it is. He didn't use feeling and emotion, he used logic. If you say you are a Christian, this thing is real. Let me tell you, it's real low. It's real low. How would you take somebody that is going to hell, you see him every day going to hell? It will be a weighty matter. He says, so I don't believe. I've met many Christians. If there's hell fire, I'm going to the hell. The way they took it, it means that they don't even believe there's a hell. Because if they believe there was a hell, they would have done some work. They don't believe. No, you say, if it's so now, exactly, that's a bad attitude. If that thing didn't touch you, you have a bad attitude. If it's so now, let them go to hell, you will not know. Eh? It means that we didn't witness to the gospel. We didn't witness to the gospel. We didn't witness. It's our fault, not his fault. You'll be in hell because of our fault. Blood. Apostle Paul said in the New Testament, hear this thing. Maybe I'll show you next week. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading me there here. He said, no man's blood. He said, I have no man's blood. I'm free from the blood of all men. I've showed you before. I think I've said it before. I'm free from the blood of all men. You think we are playing? You get a lot of people around you be required of you. What do you think we are trying to do the gospel? We will now try to be online, be on the internet, so that people can hear from everywhere. So that we too can be free of the blood of all men. Because the blood of all men we demanded of you, New Testament and the apostles. I said to him this, and you don't tell him. He said his blood will be on your head. If anything happens to him, his blood will be on your head. You can be free from the blood of all men. Or your neighbors, they are parading. He just said, it's not me, it's not my business. Say, is it him that is there? It's not him that will go to hell. Let him go to hell now. And they did not tell him. We did not get saved now. He argued because of the people around him. They didn't show any urgency. So they couldn't reach his soul. So it means if they are taking it serious. Come on. Come on. If they are taking it serious, he would have given his life to Christ. He would have seen something there. This thing is real. He said, sir, you come this morning. How did Young Icho get saved? You allow me to do this. I don't know if you know the story. Young Icho. You might know Young Icho, the pastor of the largest church in the world. One girl. We don't even know her name. I'm not sure he even knew the name when we read the book. The girl, okay, we've read, this is his testimony. Not I didn't hear from Sessos, his book, his own testimony. This girl will come and preach. This girl will come and preach. One day he shouted at her, "Tell me, I don't want you to this gospel thing." She didn't leave. She knelt down there and started crying. Right there and started crying. So seeing her cry, Young Icho, he broke down. I said, "Okay, it's okay. It's okay." He said it's okay. He said she began to smile. You know when I see somebody just everything just changed. She just, the tears, we just finished once. It's okay. All right, so are you ready to listen to me now? Yeah. Just so that she doesn't continue to cry and play any further thing, he listens. That's how your mature God saves. That's how the person in the church. It's seriousness, urgency. I'm not playing with you when I'm teaching you this thing. If you want to see souls saved through your life, be urgent. Be serious. Some people are waiting. They want to be saved though. They're looking for someone that is serious. So they will tell your own Christianity, you are playing. So I'll see your head tomorrow. So you tell that. Wait. Go. Who's call? Okay. See him. Now, you know, this is important. You'll see my young father who's call. This thing, Jesus is. Who's call? So they will not say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Believe I receive you." As you are like that, waiting for who's call. Go. Who's call? Wait. What's that? What's your message? Who's call? So see, what do you get saved? So what can even save me? So urgency. Shouting on his leg, she started crying. She knelt down in front of him and started crying. Hey, you, are you saying, you know, you don't want God to cry for you? Are you saying, "Don't cry for me"? Okay, it's okay now. It's okay. So would you listen to me now? Would you follow me to see my pastor now? We'll go anything you want. Just don't cry. We don't want to see your crying here. You need somebody. And that led to his salvation. You can imagine, and I want to dare you, try it. Talk to somebody and listen, and he sees that your heart is yearning for him. That you're not just preaching to him like number four. I can get you in church, you are number four. Come on, number four. Zona leaders, take notes. He's number five. Preach to number five. Leaves are gone, number one, number two, this one. So I'll say, I'll try. You are doing like target. No, target. This soul is important to me. You are important. My heart is yearning for you. He looks at you, someone, and you are talking with passion from your heart because you want him. Not, he's not a target to be met. He's a soul to be reached. That kind of attitude. It's not the thing you are preaching. I say it's not the words you are saying. It's the urgency. You hear what I've said? This attitude, you see souls turning around in your life. You see people, you see your life touching people. You'll be amazed. Listen to me. You might not be saying Greek and Hebrew. You're not saying many things, so. Do you hear what I'm saying? You don't even know anything. You're not saying, "Jesus loves you, but with passion." You are saying, "Listen, if you open up your heart to God, God can do things for you that nobody can do for you. With passion, with urgency, with truth from your heart to his heart." That's why you find, what does he know? I even preach more than himself. Somebody is getting more souls saved. You know all the Greek and Hebrew, but you're not seeing any results. Why? Because she's not speaking English, Greek, trying to contain many grammar. She's not even speaking Bible. She's just being urgent about it and serious from her heart to his heart. From his heart to her heart. Anyhow, she's connecting from heart level and just saying, "Jesus loves you. If you can open up your heart and just receive him, he will come to you and he will make things make sense for you. You might have a body right now, but God wants to, he's just there. You are not even saying, "Will you open up your heart to Jesus today?" You get say, "Oh, will you go around your..." You will say, so the Greek word, see,
So I was saying John chapter 4 verse 5, the Bible says that you will not change your tone. So God is a God of restoration, and He can restore you today. I say, all right, thank you very much. You try. Thank you. No, okay. No passion, no urgency. You are just trying to do number. If you are also talking to somebody and just might just do, may just go, might just go, no results. Passion, attitude of soul, that this soul must be saved. Let it be in your heart. You will not know anything. You just say, Jesus loves you. You will come on Monday. You will come on Tuesday. When He sees you again on Thursday, He says, listen, it's not what pastor, that place, I will be there. I said, this place, they won't let me rest. I'm coming. Then He will not come. Okay, I know why. I was so blessed. Okay. So, I mean, your urgency, your attitude, you get so saved. So you want your life to count. That's how it counts. Amen?